got a few texts saying that you couldn't hear me. Can you send me a text now just confirming that you can hear me? We probably had about 2 minutes of silence there. I'm just going to wait for a text really briefly. Can you, if you can hear me, please text me back. And my apologies. Still in silence. Okay, you can hear me. Excellent. Let me just give you a little advice about how to run your phone, folks. If you push the mute button, it will mute your line. I had, as we were getting this call set up, I had my daughter, who's 16, pop into the room asking if we were going anywhere this morning, if we had LifeVantage meetings, since we were talking about that last night as a family and the time that we're investing as a family into the meetings, and they were prepared to go to meetings. It's actually next week. So she said, if we're not going to meetings, can I get in my horse clothes and go out and ride horses? Of course. But I put the phone on mute at that time. And then I forgot to take it off. So thank you for those three of you, four of you who texted me. All right, welcome to the Proven Plan Training Call. My name is Seth Mulder. I'm super excited to be with you. I'm a LifeVantage distributor. I'm a professional network marketer. I'm a master pro 10. And I am excited about continuing to share mastery skills here in what we call the Master's Business School. That's not just a play on words, but it is a powerful, powerful subject. Many people go get an MBA or a master's in business administration. They'll spend, you know, months or years of their time doing that. I think that there's value there. That may give them, you know, an extra $10,000 or $20,000 or maybe $30,000 in their year in their career, which they can use to pay off that debt for school. And that's a definite option. What we're teaching is a master's business school. We're going to teach you skills. We're going to give you experiences. We're going to invite you into a school or a system that can help you increase your income by $10,000 or $20,000 a month or more. We're going to do this. By the way, if you'll just send me your tuition costs on today's phone, after today's phone call, you can PayPal me, right? We don't do that. You're investing your time. I'm investing my time. Why do we do this? Because the work that we do on these calls and the work that we do in the many, 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 many meetings that we have as we meet with people to share the LifeVantage story, those translate into little mini micro business successes. And it's a compilation and the accumulation of all those mini successes that can turn and grow into macro successes. It was fun to be on the phone this last week with some individuals up in Vancouver, Canada. You know who you are, Kira and team, and Carrie and Aubrey. I was excited as we did some three-way calls into Japan because they had some people that they knew from Canada that knew Americans in Japan who know lots of Japanese people. And we did several calls, and it was just so fun to listen to you as you guys shared your story with me, as you shared what this call is doing as we bring our teams together on this call and start to master these skills. So Master's Business School, that's what we're here today. We call this the Proven Plan Training Call. Can I just have somebody quickly, *6, unmute your line, jump out and remind everyone on the call what the four pillars, okay, the four key principles of this Master's Business School system are. Don't let 3 seconds of silence go on. Just *6, unmute your line, and hop out. Please tell us. I know them, but I'd rather you remind us of them. *6 should unmute your line. And if I don't have anybody unmute your line, I'm wondering if you can actually even hear me.
Oh, hi, Seth. This is Belin.
Belin, thank you so much.
Okay, I might have them mixed up because I wrote them from memory, but I know the first one is the Proven Plan.
The Proven Plan, yes.
And these, I'm not sure, Advanced Cycle. And
thank
Core
Habits. Advanced Cycle. Core Habits, yes.
And Leadership Development.
Excellent.
Did I get them?
You got them all, and you actually got them in the order that I always talk about them.
Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. I was in a meeting this last week with other of my Pro 10 cohorts, brothers and sisters, and we were talking about the four pillars. We were talking about this system. And you know, number one is the proven plan, the seven skills and to make the business turn, to make the business work. Number two, I've in the past, I've called this the event cycle. Valin, you're 100% correct. And lately, just I was typing something up. I was explaining something to somebody about the four pillars, and I said, instead of saying event cycle, I said life-changing events. I think those are interchangeable. It's the events. We do them in a specific order. We do them to build on each other, and there's so much to learn. But really, more than learning with events, it's just there's so much to do. Just plug into the events. There are seven core habits that we teach. That's pillar number three. Okay. And then there are, the pillar number four is the quest, the ongoing personal quest for leadership significance. We develop ourselves as leaders, okay? Those are the four pillars. If you implement our full system, you'll be successful. You'll have more success. You'll grow. You'll progress. You'll actualize potential. You will make money, okay? On a side note, I was with others of our leadership in LifeVantage recently, and I was introducing them to this concept of the Master's Business School, the schools that we're launching around the country. You know, as you know, we stopped doing premier schools. The company stopped owning that, and now we as distributors are taking those responsibilities, and we're starting to launch four pillars curriculum at Master's Business Schools all across the country. Starting this month, it's in four locations, Salt Lake City, Jacksonville, Honolulu, and I just had a blank out of my mind. That's embarrassing. So Jacksonville, Salt Lake City, Honolulu, and Nashville, Tennessee. There it is. How could I forget Nashville? In the month of June, we'll be repeating those Master's Business Schools and then launching four more schools: Sacramento, California; Hattiesburg, Mississippi; Phoenix, Arizona; and Atlanta, Georgia. After that, we obviously go into Elite Academy, and coming into August and in the fall, we're launching more business schools. It's an event. It's the monthly training school. If you don't have a business school in your area, find another school that's going on. Make your own school. Do a Super Saturday. Build up, so that then you can bring the Master's Business School event to your hometown. But anyway, I was talking with some elites. These are Pro 8s, Pro 9s, et cetera. Pro 8s, Pro 7s, Pro 8s, Pro 9s. And we were talking about we were talking about this Master's Business School, and the feedback was tremendous. It's really nothing different than what we've always taught. We've always taught going to events. We've always taught doing 15 presentations a month minimum. We've taught, you know, hey, become a better person, right? It's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to be able to give an additional structure, okay, an additional path to follow so that we can all do it better. That's what we're doing. We are taking the training, the system that has worked in this company, and we're making it better. We're going to double it. We're going to make it 10 times more effective. And being on this call today, you're participating in that. I want to thank you for investing your time in yourself. With that, let's move on. We're going to pull from pillar number four, which, as Valin, thank you, Valin, reminded us, is leadership development. I really believe that you want to hang around incredible people. You want to hang around people with leadership qualities. You want to hang around other people, normal, quote-unquote, normal people, who display leadership qualities. And you want to learn from those. Leaders have to become learners, okay? And by the way, to be a follower does not mean that you're not a leader, okay? It's not like you're a leader or a follower. The greatest leaders I know are also followers. Because as I was reading in Scripture in the last couple of weeks from one of my morning Scripture studies, there's always a brighter star. There's always a greater intelligence. There's always a brighter personality, right? I may excel in something in my life. There's always somebody who's excelling a little more in that same area. In other words, there's always somebody that I can be mentored from. There's always somebody whose light that I can borrow or I can follow. There is no shame in being a follower, okay? And again, if I go back to Scripture, it just came to me, you know, I follow the Master, I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm his follower, and yet he asked me to go lead. But what he also said in Scripture was that he followed his Father. There is no shame in following. In fact, sometimes the best leaders, perhaps, are also those who know truly how to follow. So, having said that, how do we become greater, better leaders? We look to other leaders. We follow other leaders. We get around those people. Well, there are so many people who left their legacy and left their leadership in great books, in the classics. And we read from those. Today we're going to be reading from another classic, and we'll have the assignment to purchase the next classic that we're going to be talking about. Okay, but I just want to pull up, and we're going to talk about man's search for meaning. Viktor Frankl. We're going to take 10 minutes today. Okay, watch me, guys. Don't let me go over. You know that I love to talk about these books because I love what the transformation that they've offered me, the education. Inspiration, transformation. That's at the heart of Master's Business School. So today we're on part two of Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. You'll remember the first part was him talking about his experiences in a concentration camp. Our assignment was your assignment was to finish that, okay? And then to go on to part two, which was something that we probably didn't have any recognition of or maybe understanding, logotherapy in a nutshell. I mean, I'm sure that some of us, and maybe even I did, wondered, why are we reading about logotherapy? By the way, what is logotherapy? Well, Viktor L. Frankl was a professor of neurology and psychiatry at the University of Vienna Medical School. In fact, until his death in 1997. So, you know, there's psychotherapy, right? There's other types of therapy in the world of psychology and psychoanalysis, etc. That's not really our subject matter today. There is a lot we can learn here. But logotherapy was Frankl's a different approach, okay? It was Viktor Frankl's different approach to helping people with the problems of their lives, okay? We could call it, whether it was neurosis or psychosis or just boredom, right? The problems that people experience in their lives. And logo, by the way, in Greek, is the Greek root word for meaning. So logotherapy was a different therapy. Instead of sitting back and, you know, sitting on your back, laying on a white couch and talking about, you know, how your parents failed you, or how people tease you in elementary school, or trying to be introspective, or get a perspective on the past. Logotherapy was really about applying meaning and finding meaning in the future. And I don't want to say really much more about that. But what I do want to do is I'm going to open this call up. And again, I play on the rule of three. I'll build on something that and I forgot her name, but the our wonderful speaker, you'll remind me, the woman empowerment speaker that's spoken at the women's event here in Life Vantage. She spoke at convention last time or the Lead Academy. She talked about remember the 5 seconds and moving on in 5 seconds. So I'm gonna live only with 5 seconds of silence. And if somebody misses the opportunity in 5 seconds, then I will move on. But what I would love to hear is from you. What did you learn from this book? What did you underline in this book? What have you felt from this book? Pika, okay? 5 seconds. I'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, I will move on and I will do it.
Hey, is that?
Yes. Is it Steve?
Can you hear me? This is Steve.
I can hear you. Oh, you know it's good when I can recognize
awesome.
Your voice.
I wanted to share, as I read this book, as a younger man, I was in the military in Germany, and I got a chance to actually walk through and visit the death camp Dachau.
Okay.
And he references that in the book, from being moved from Auschwitz. Even, I don't know, it was in 1970-something, 76, I think. And even then, I could feel the spirit. I could feel, as you walk through the barracks and the living conditions that they, I'm talking about raw, unfinished wood, with no comfort at all, to the gas chamber, which looked like a shower, to the incinerators on the back door. I could bring that all back, and all that despair and all that negativity and all that hopelessness, what rang through to me was, it's up to you to choose. It's up to you to choose. Do you have a spirit of negative expectations? And you have to guard against that. And it can start very subtly. And as he talked about later in the book, is when you could tell when somebody had lost that meaningful hope that would bring him to the next moment, to bring to the next hour. It didn't have to be for a lifetime, but it had to get him to the next day, the next moment, the next event. And instead of seeking pleasure or seeking accomplishments, it's seeking meaning, having a meaning for why you're doing something. Why you're putting up with this? Why are you embracing this, as he put, suffering? Why are you embracing this suffering? Because there's something meaningful to me on the other side. And focus on that, as opposed to just, oh my God, look what's happening. Oh my God, look what's happening. Oh my God. That attitude, which is a spirit of negative expectations. And we have that. And in our society, we are so distracted with stuff that doesn't matter, really, when you get to the bottom line of why you're around. So that, to me, was very personable, to bring that experience of actually walking through that evilness and going through, looking at the pictures and suffering a zombie leap is just off the chart. But anyway, I thought I would share that it boils down to your meaning, and that's what he goes into with the logo therapy, is instead of telling me about who did you wrong and who failed you and, you know, the victimhood, your freedom to choice, of choice, is a prisoner or as anything, is the bottom line. And that's what I wanted to share.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you. You're going to teach next week, by the way. I'm just going to turn this call over to you. That was amazing. Thank you so much. Steve, is somebody else joining us?
Yes, it's Allison.
Allison, good morning.
Hi. Good morning. I marked this paragraph in the book. He said, thus it can be seen that mental health is based on a certain degree of tension. The tension between what one has already achieved and what one still ought to accomplish, or the gap between what one is and what one should become. Such a tension is inherent in the human being and therefore is indispensable to mental well-being. I have had this lifelong experience of that tension being dangerous and something to be avoided, something that was bad. And when I read that, I discovered how healthy it actually is, and to take it as a sign that things are actually going really well, and to persist in that pursuit of whatever it is that I've decided, whether it's making calls or contacting people or inviting people, or whatever you would want to name, that discomfort gives a good balance for I'm on the right track, keep going.
Wow. Absolutely. Thank you. You know, I mean, and thank you it's such a truth what you just read and what you taught. I remember reading that this week and thinking the same thing. And then the application to what we're doing. If you feel tension, if you feel that, you know, that the preparation for battle or discomfort or whatever, realize that it's normal. That's normal mental health. That's okay, right? Preparing to make those invite calls. You feel the tension because you know what has happened in the past. Some have gone well. Some, you know, some yield fruit soon, some yield fruit later, right? Or they don't yield fruit. But it's that idea of going from where you were in the past to what you can be in the future, actualizing your potential. That is a tension line. It needs to be. It's a straight road. If there was no tension there, we couldn't walk. It's like kind of walking a tightrope, okay? You know, if there's no tension between both sides of the rope, if it's loose, we actually can't walk the rope. So, thank you, Allison, for sharing that. Anybody else? 5 seconds.
Hi, Seth.
John, that guy, Seattle, Washington. Talk to me.
And you're just south of Vancouver, by the way, so come and visit us sometime.
By the way, I was not in Vancouver. I was on the phone. Just, you know, I did not go that close to you and skip you.
Oh, I got it. Well, now that you've been on the phone, perhaps you'll go there and come and visit us. So it all works. I came away with like two or three major things that I'd just like to share briefly. The first one is that in almost every instance in the concentration camps and amongst his patients later in the second half of the book, where he spent so much time talking about deep science and stuff, the theme that kind of runs through the whole thing is that the people who survived had a reason to. I mean, where have we heard that before in our business, that it's the why that drives everything? And it seems that he found that to be the one thing that got people to do things in their minds, even when their bodies were being punished and or ultimately killed, that caused them to give up hope and move forward. And which leads to the second thing, that he said that he could tell the one sign that somebody had given up and would be dead within the next 24 hours is when they sat down and lit up a cigarette. I remember reading that part. And you know, I think we sometimes feel like figuratively doing that, you know, sitting down and lighting up that cigarette and saying, oh, well, you know, there's no more meaning here. But yet it's that why that drives us to do anything, whether it's our business or to move forward in the face of adversity. I mean, we're probably not going to have the kinds of adversity, severity of adversity that he had or that the people around him had, but in our ways, everybody's going to run into adversity. Which leads then to the third thing, that it seems to me that Stephen Covey referred to Viktor Frankl as kind of an inspirational turning point for him when he read a little segment of one of Frankl's books, and I don't think it was this one necessarily, but that there's a scintilla of time and stimulus and response always. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's shorter, but however long it is during that time, we have the complete ability to choose what we're going to do during that time, whether it's when the person cuts us off on the freeway or says something to us or hangs up on us when we're making a call or makes fun, you know, whatever it is, we've got that little bit of time where we can actually choose how we're going to respond. So those were the takeaways I got.
Awesome. Thank you so much. 5 seconds. All right, I'm moving on.
Can you hear me?
Lynn, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, what I liked about this after he started to contribute to everyone as a leader, and he talked about how someone asked him to write in one sentence what his meaning of life is. And he wrote it on a paper and then asked his students to tell him what it was, and they got it. They knew what it was. And the sentence is, the meaning of your life is to help others find the meaning of theirs. And that just reminds me so much of my family and our statement to go out and help the world, and in helping the world, we help us. And helping one, we help the world. And I adapted that to my business, and I really loved the book, but that was the last sentence in the book, and it just sums it all up.
Yes, thank you so much. That's powerful. Powerful stuff. I'm going to share a couple of things, and we're going to be moving on. Thank you so much for your contribution. Back to some kind of where Allison was reading from. I'm on page 109 in my book. There's much wisdom in the words of Nietzsche. Hey, Nietzsche. Quote, I can see this, by the way, I can see this in every training we do when we talk about the why now, this quote, but it's powerful. He who has a why to live for can bear almost any how. Wow, that's so powerful. Moving on to page 110, this is actually below where Allison was reading. What man actually needs is not a tensionless state. In other words, I'm going to reread that. What man actually needs is not the easy way, but rather the striving and struggling for a worthwhile goal, a freely chosen task. What he needs is not the discharge of tension at any cost, but the call of a potential meaning waiting to be fulfilled by him. If an architect wants to strengthen a decrepit arch, right? So a failing arch, think about an archway, right? You walk through it, or a doorway that's made from an arch or whatever. If architects want to strengthen a decrepit arch, they increase the load which is laid upon it, for thereby the parts are joined more firmly together. Wow, so powerful. I hope you apply that to your business. This business is very simple. I mean, really, it is so simple. Reach out to people. Share the video. Share your story. Share your meaning with them. Connect them to an event. Reach out. Share. Connect. It is easy. Pardon me. It is simple. And it is easy when we have that meaning in our lives. When we have that meaning, that purpose, it does flow. It's like pouring water out of a jar. Let's see. Okay, I'm probably going to close with this. Page 115. Okay. Thus far, we have shown that the meaning of life always changes, but that it never ceases to be. According to logotherapy, we can discover this meaning in life in three different ways. And I'm just, as I was reading this week, I'm thinking, I experience all of those when I'm building my business. Number one, by creating a work or doing a deed. We find meaning in doing what we're doing, right? In creating a team. In fulfilling a vision. In looking to the eyes of that guest and saying, I'm changing my world. I'm committed to helping five people change their world. To give them more meaning. To give them more fulfillment, right? That's what we're doing. That's number one. Number two. Second way that we discover this meaning in life, by experiencing something or encountering someone. I'm going to read on. What he means by that is, by experiencing something such as good, and think about the events you've attended. Think about the experiences that you've had in LifeVantage. Think about the trainings. Think about the people that you've met, the conversation that you had at the after meeting, whatever, right? perfecting, experiencing something, quote, such as goodness, truth, or beauty. By experiencing nature and culture, or, but not least, by experiencing another human being in his very uniqueness, by loving him. Have you experienced that at Life Vantage? Have you experienced that at the event? Have you experienced that as you build your business? Wow, that is the embodiment of what we do in the system, really, when I think about it. And number three, discovering the meaning of life by the attitude we take toward unavoidable suffering. Have any of you, have you experienced any suffering to a lesser extent, discomfort, struggle, sorrow, fear, frustration, suffering? I read on. The first, turn the page. I don't see what I want. Oh, meaning of suffering. Here it is. For what then matters is to bear witness to the uniquely human potential at its best, which is to transform a personal tragedy into a triumph. To turn one's predicament, I gotta underline that sentence. To turn one's predicament into a human achievement. In some way, suffering ceases to be suffering at the moment it finds a meaning, such as the meaning of a sacrifice. Well, in some way, suffering ceases to be suffering at the moment it finds a meaning. He continues, by the way, let me make it perfectly clear that in no way is suffering necessary to find meaning. I only insist that meaning is possible even in spite of suffering. I hope that you take what you read from this book this past week and apply it to your business in every aspect, in the pursuit of achievement, of building, right? In the pursuit of the relationships, loving, experiencing, and even as we may suffer, right? I had recently a Pro 4 whom is close to our family in a different state. And, you know, expressing some of the frustration at the business, some of the frustration that, you know, things were moving and moving and things were just clicking. They could feel it, and then it stopped. And it's like, we did that last meeting, and I happened to be at that last meeting, by the way. You know, we did that last meeting, and it's like the wheel stopped. It's like the balloon deflated, you know. And I let this individual kind of feel that, and they started to work out a plan to overcome that. That is part of the struggle. I hope we all realize that is part of the struggle. Now, is it always necessary? No, it isn't always necessary. In other words, we can build the business. We can find the meaning without necessarily the suffering. But when we do experience that, let us learn from it. Let us find meaning in that. Okay. So assignment for next week, and boy, I did take more than 15 minutes. I did 20, doggone it. A short reading assignment. I want you to consider, as you finish up this book, ponder a little. The reading assignment is short this week. It's part three. Well, not even part three. But it's the postscript that was written in 1984, The Case for a Tragic Optimism. Here's your assignment in this last 15 pages of this book. Find one thing that could be life-changing for you. One thing in this last 15 pages. Consider it. Kind of review in your mind the book and bring that one thing next week on our training call. Okay? So, The Case for a Tragic Optimism. Next assignment. You need to get your next book. Okay? You need to get your next book. And that, let me say this. Next assignment, before you get the next book, share what you learned from Man's Search for Meaning with somebody this week. Okay? Share that with somebody. Please email me or text me. Share that with me. What happened? Okay? Maybe it's going to come up in a conversation. What we're talking about is applying what you've learned. Teaching what you've learned. That, by the way, is leadership. So you can email me at seth@theprovenplan.com. Again, that's seth@theprovenplan.com. Share man's search for meaning with somebody. Teach it. It only becomes real in the bigger world, in the bigger sense of the world, and the sense of the word when you share it, when it goes beyond you, right? So do that. Assignment number three. Get the new book. And Don Dowd, you must have been in tune, because we are going to be reading, you mentioned Covey, we're going to be pulling Covey off the shelf, okay? Go to Amazon. This book is dirt cheap because there are so many millions of copies of this book that are in this book. But the mine is actually signed by Stephen R. Covey, which is kind of cool. The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Would you like to be more effective in your communication? Would you like to be more effective in your presentation? Would you like to be more effective with in a very close relationship, in a marriage, or with that specific spouse type of relationship, or boyfriend or girlfriend, your fiance? Would you like to be more effective in counseling and leading and teaching and loving your children, your grandchildren, your family members? Would you like to be a more effective, more powerful leader? The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People is our book for the next little while. So get that book. We will not be reading it next week. That'll be 2 weeks from today. We will start, and we'll start talking about that incredible book. But next week, you should have it. I will give you the reading assignment, or we will give you the reading assignment next week for this book. So finish up Man's Search for Meaning, share it, and get Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Awesome. That's pillar number four. Let's go back to pillar number one today. I want to talk. I'm opening the blueprint. Okay, I am. I'm going to tell the story, and we're going to kind of do some add-ons, maybe to telling the story. And here's why. And maybe this will be updated in the next version of the Proven Plan, which is being updated, by the way. Okay. When we tell the story. Okay, we bring people to events, and that's really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about events and promoting events, which has to do with telling the story, because people are going to get the story at the event. But there's some mechanics around events that I think really need to be included. Okay, and I want to share these with you. And I'm really going to talk about two subjects for the next few minutes. If you have questions, I want you to kind of raise your hand, dog ear your notebook. Put a star in the middle of your page. We're going to take a few questions at the end, but I've got just a few minutes that I can share some principles with, because I've got another call right after this call this morning. So I want to talk about this event. There is good, better, and best. Okay, good, better, and best when it comes to events. Good is when you hear about an event. For example, in Utah, the next big event is next Friday the 13th of May. We have in preparation for Master's Business School on Saturday the 14th, we have an opportunity meeting on Friday night with the guest speaker. It happens to be Master Pro Ten Gabe Pearson coming into Salt Lake City. So we have an event. The good way to approach that event is to look at your calendar, to mark it down and say, I'm going to be there. Okay? That's good. Glad. I'm glad your behind's going to be in that seat, and you'll take away. That's good. Better would be to say, I am going to invite, I will be there, and I will invite somebody else to be there with me. Okay? So that better approach means that you could potentially double your attendance, right? Instead of just you, there's the potential to double it. Okay, it's a good thing. It's a good approach, and you know, if you do that many times, you will have people go with you, right? It's good. It's better. But there's a best approach. Here's the best approach. Here's the approach that helps you go from zero to tenfold, fivefold, fifteenfold, twentyfold, eightyfold kind of results in your business. instead of just being there yourself, instead of just saying, I'm going to invite somebody for an event that is 7 days away, I'm going to take this approach. How many times can I cycle? How many times can I create an event before this event, before next Friday? It might look something like this. Today's Saturday. Who can I call today and meet with today so that they can hear the story today, so that they can know about Friday, lock it into their calendar, and then we can meet with their people on Monday and Tuesday. We meet with their people so that then we can meet with their people on Wednesday and Thursday, so that we can, everyone through that whole week, be inviting to bring people who had never, ever heard about LifeVantage, who are then bringing people who had never heard about LifeVantage, who are then bringing people who had never heard about LifeVantage until a day ago, or 48 hours ago, or 6 days ago, to that event on Friday. Do you see the power in that? It really is about how fast we want to cycle, right? How fast we want to share the story. But I can just tell you, it's good to be at that event on Friday. I'll be there. It's better to say, I'm going to invite people to be there. It is the best approach. It is the truest, the biggest leadership approach to say, who can I meet with in the next 2 days? And then we'll duplicate with their people in the next 2 days. And duplicate with their people in the next 2 days. What could happen? I'll tell you what happens. People could bring 80 people to that meeting. Literally. You could have 6 people to that meeting, and they could all, and 5 of them could be brand new distributors that didn't even know about LifeVantage or hadn't been to a meeting or you hadn't followed up with. Do you see the power in that? Take the best approach. And it all comes down to today, doesn't it? Who can I talk to today and tomorrow? How can I make this happen today and tomorrow so that then they can use their today and tomorrow, so that then they can use their today and tomorrow, so that we can build in to that Friday night opportunity meeting with Gabe Pearson. Utilize that. That's so powerful. It will make your storytelling increase. It'll make it better, right? The last principle I want to talk about before I open this up for just a couple of questions is the before and the after meetings, okay? When I got in this industry, this is kind of what I did. I knew if there was a meeting at 7 o'clock, I'd show up at 5 to 7, right? Wait out on the curb for my guests, hope they come. When they do, get excited, walk in the room, do the meeting. Stay 10 minutes after the meeting, answer questions, say, let's get together, and I'd go home. And the reason I did that personally is because I'm a family man. And my family was really important to me, and so I wanted to maximize my time with my family. So I'd leave that meeting at 6:25 or 6:30 so that I could make it to the 7 o'clock meeting at 6:55, or maybe sometimes be 5 minutes late, right? And then we'd get the meeting done with, right? Get the meeting over with. Let's get through it, get them excited, hopefully, right? Talk to them, answer some questions, and I would want to get home because I have family responsibilities, or I wanted just to get home because I needed to see my wife, or I needed to tuck my kids in. And again, those things are important. But here's what I've come to realize over my course of history, and this took me a long time to realize, a long time. I would rather, well, I don't want to make a choice there, but if you don't invest in the pre-meeting, right, have your people come 20 minutes early. Have people come 15 minutes early. You can get a lot of work accomplished. You can talk to them. More importantly, you can have other third parties talk to them. Can you imagine when your guest walks into a room that they talk to 5 or 10 other people? What would that do? What kind of effect would that have on your business? It would be almost incalculable. Tell your guests to come 15 minutes early. Say, hey, 6:45, be there. It'll be a 7 o'clock start, but come at 6:45, I'll prep you for some things. See how powerful that could be? And then they shake hands and get introduced to 5 or 10 other really cool people. Maybe they have 1 or 2 important conversations. The pre-meeting is so critical, okay? If you're a presenter, the pre-meeting responsibility is you're there a half an hour early. By a half an hour early, you have no other responsibility. Hosts, by the way, at a half an hour early, you know, you have no other responsibilities to worry about. The water's done, the you know, if you have Axio to serve, it's done. If there's AV stuff, it's all done. So that 30 minutes before that home meeting or that hotel meeting, you're totally engaged with what? Meeting and talking and welcoming as many people as possible. In fact, every single person in that room. If there's 150, great. I hope you shake hands with 150 people. If there's 10, I hope you have conversations with all 10 of those people. Don't gravitate to the people that you know and that it's easy to talk to. Gravitate to the people who need to know, you know, who need that communication, okay? So that's the pre-meeting. The after-meeting, wow, critical, critical, critical. The most important meeting is the meeting after the meeting. This is where, you know, where you stick around. You have an organized, hey, we're going to get together, and it's an organized free time. Does that make sense? There's purpose there. We answer questions. I can't tell you how powerful that after meeting is. Leaders are going from table to table in the restaurant. Maybe it's at Village Inn, you know, maybe it's at the Denny's, maybe it's at IHOP, maybe it's at TGI Fridays, maybe it's at Starbucks, whatever, right? You know, in Salt Lake, here in Utah County, in south of Salt Lake, in Lehi, we do our meeting in a hotel which has a fabulous lobby environment, and great restaurant, great service. We have a discount with a hotel. So we go there, and listen, honestly, I'm there. I didn't go home until 11:30 last time. We left at like 11 o'clock or 11:15. Why? Because we had distributors and guests, okay, staying there late, okay? What? They're talking. This is where the business often happens. I used to think that the meeting was the most important thing, and, of course, telling the story is most important. But I'm going to tell you, the meeting after the meeting may be the most important meeting, okay? You know, a quote from this last week at one of the guests who said he's in, by the way. The person who invited him lived in Arizona. prepped me and prepped my wife, actually. Hey, by the way, so-and-so's coming. Prepped another distributor in a different leg saying, by the way, so-and-so's coming. Sent me a picture of him. Prepped me for him. So that when he walked in, I knew exactly who he was, and I started talking to him. And then I was astounded that another distributor walked in and said, hey, is so-and-so here? Okay. I got a message from, you know, so-and-so distributor. I wanted to check in. We took care of this guy. He stayed for the after meeting. He said he's in, guys. Okay. And he's like, you know what? I feel energy. I can judge energy, and I feel it here. You know, it was awesome. So the after meeting, the pre-meeting, the after meeting, they have to happen. They're critical. I missed that for years and years and years in my business. Now I take the time, and I just know that on those meeting nights, I'm investing in that time because that's really what can grow my business. So good, better, best. Go be best this week, and then the before meeting. You can star 6, unmute your line. I've got time for about 1.5 questions today, if anybody has any. And I'm doing the 5-second thing. All right. Hey, I want to thank everybody for being on this call. You can check out the recording at theprovenplan.com. If you've not listened to the Proven Plan audios recently, they are the most successful, important training audio tool that we have at LifeVantage. You can find those online at lifevantagetools.com. It's the Proven Plan audio, 3 CDs. Put them in your car. They will make an incredible difference in your business. I want to thank everybody for being on this call. Let's go live best today. Let's go live best. Thanks, everybody. And we will talk to you next week. This call is officially in the books.